Thank you, Brother Tommy. Appreciate you leading our singing today, and for all of those, all of you that participated in seeing to it that our service was carried out today. We are grateful for you and appreciate what you do for us. David, I forgot to give you one, so don't blame David for this. So I'm going to make a quick announcement here that needs to be made. But first of all, we broke the 1,000 barrier this past week at the prison. Isn't that right? Okay. Bob suffers like I do with, we don't always hear everything, but I just said we broke the 1,000 barrier. I think it's about 1,017. Get the right number from Bob. He probably has it. And we still have another month to go, so we're having a banner year at the prison work, and I think that's just outstanding. I want to say that to you and let you know that. But this one's a little bit more important kind of an announcement. This announcement is about Charles Michael Jericho. He is the newborn son of Jeff and Christian, and most importantly, he's the grandson of Mark and Susan Roscoe's. He was born 1 week ago today. So amen to that. 7 pounds, 9 ounces, for those of you that always keep that in your calendar business, you know. All those kinds of things. We're glad about that. And I also want to recognize an individual who's been worshiping with us, but wants to place her membership with us. Shelly Dean is placing her membership with us. She's been worshiping with us for some time. She comes to us from the Highway 41 congregation in Kilgore, which is now the Post Oak congregation there. They built a new building. But we want to welcome Shelly. We're glad you're here with us, and we're going to put you to work. Shelly's sitting back there with her mama, Betty Pilkington, if you didn't know who Shelly was. Okay, so there you go. And amen to that. Let's have a prayer. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with so much. Thank you for, for a day to remember what we're grateful about. We're grateful each and every day, but we're grateful we have times when we especially remember. So we thank you for all of the marvelous, awesome blessings you give to us. We're thankful, Father, for this young child that's been born. We pray he'll be raised in a Christian home and he'll learn about you soon. We're grateful for his safe delivery here. We thank you for all the wonderful baptisms out in the prisons that are going on. And we thank you for Shelly coming our way, placing her membership with us today. Father, as we study now from your holy and divine will, I pray that you will give me, your servant, the recollection of the things that I've studied for, and that you will encourage us as we are in this season of appointing elders to serve in this congregation. Watch over us, care for us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, amen, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, because that's what the book says. Amen to all of that. Well, we have been studying. We've had some great lessons from our elders in our combined Bible classes, which, by the way, next week we should be going back to our regular schedule, so you can return to your regular class. And they've done a fine job of pointing out for us what are qualifications and characteristics of serving as a leader and being an elder. And in fact, when we get done here, we're going to pass out some forms. Ray is going to do that, and he has a couple of words for you. And the elders asked me, naturally, after four lessons, you know, from the people in the Bible class, for me to piggyback on that two other lessons about leadership. So here I am. Cotton picking thieves took everything I needed, you know, for basic lessons. I say that lovingly because they didn't steal it all. There's so much really to learn and to be said about being a leader. And when we think about that, when I was thinking about that, there are just so many ways to go. Here's a great passage. I love this verse. I know that Tom Jones loves it. He likes to quote it a lot. And I hope that we quote it so much around here like we do Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, that you are getting acquainted with it about what it says. And that's going to be my beginning place. I don't know where we'll wind up, but I want us to look at this passage briefly as we begin. And Micah 6 in verse 8, do we have that there, Wayne? He has shown you. Now, your version might say, oh man, but oh mortal, but that just makes us all of us humans, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What's the requirement? Well, it's to act justly, it's to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And if you've been listening to what, with what Bobby Davis has said, what Ray Hall has said, and Tom Jones, and Brother Tommy Good, you've heard those principles being mentioned over and over and over again. Because they come to light in those other passages that have been read. And I'm thinking, what does that look like? Just what does that actually look like? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I'm going to mention a few names here. I'm sure all of you know these names. Jesus Roberto Manguilla. Y'all know him. Alex Flores. Alejandro Castilla. Yesara Saeed. Jason Derek Brown. William Bradford, Robert Fisher, Eduardo Ravello, Jose Nunez. I just read you the 10 most wanted fugitives in America, according to the FBI. The 10 most wanted. Now, why do they want these guys? I mean, if you knew what maybe they have done, and I don't know in particular except just a little brief things that are said, and you can go to the website for yourself to find those things out. They're wanted because they're wicked. They're wanted because they're evil. They're wanted because they have committed horrendous kinds of crimes. A wanted list. And when I read Tom from the book of Micah, that's God's wanted list. What's required of you? I have told you, O mortal, O man, what is required of you. You are to act justly. If you have another version, it will say you are to love kindness, mercy, walk humbly with your God. I read a story about J. Edgar Hoover, as you know, who was one of the directors of the FBI for a number of years. I don't remember. I wasn't born then, but you know, I'm joking about that one. They told a story about how that during the week that folks would come for tours, and they often had elementary class groups would come to the FBI building, and they thought it would be a good thing that actually J. Edgar Hoover might be able to lead one of those class groups through one day. So they arranged his schedule. And just so happened he drew the first grade class. So he got to take the little first graders through and showed them the building and all of the nice features of it and so forth. And they got them in the big round room where the pictures of all the fugitives were. And they were all in this place, and these little kids are all looking and so forth like that. And a first grader pulls on the pant leg of J. Edgar Hoover. And he leans down and he says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" He said, "Why didn't you keep them after you took their pictures?" Now, that's supposed to be a true story. I don't know if it really is, but that's a pretty good question, isn't it? Why didn't you just hang on to them? I want to talk to you this morning for just a little while about a different kind of wanted person. It's a man that is wanted because of his goodness, not because of his wickedness. He's wanted because of his leadership, not because of his poor, terrible kind of example. He's a person that is supposed to be a servant, as we spoke last week. A man wanted for service in the kingdom of God. And when I start running references about those kinds of things, there are so many stories or scriptures that come up. Pretty soon your mind is pretty much fried with all of the different areas or directions that you might go. I don't know how many of you have seen that movie, The Help. You remember the lady that keeps the children? The story was all about her. She had that little saying, "You is kind, you is smart, you is important." That's what she told the children. Almost all of the kids, or the kids that she had taken care of, had learned that. Ezekiel tells us when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he said, "I searched for a man among them," that was Israel, "who would build up the wall and would stand in the gap before me for the Lord, so that I would not destroy them because of the land. But I found no one. So thus I have poured out my indignation, my judgment upon them," is what he said. He looked for a righteous man, Jehovah did, to stand in the gap to build up the damaged walls of Zion, and to help protect the nation against the enemies. I don't know if that's the way you see what our leadership does for us, but I hope it is. I hope that you remember that they are not, as Tom stated so well this morning, not perfect men, but rather they are dedicated men. And that they are here for the purpose of leading us in the paths of righteousness and to help us to get through the difficult times in our lives. You remember the story of Abraham and Lot? You remember how that God, or that Abraham begged God not to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And he told him, that, would you destroy it if I could find 50 righteous people? You remember that conversation? And how that conversation as it just began to sort of dwindle down until he got down to 10. If, would you destroy it if I even found 10 men? Well, the bottom line is there were no righteous folks there at all. And the cities were destroyed. God did allow a provision for somebody for Lot and his family to be saved and to escape the destruction, even though there was still some sadness because they didn't follow God's instructions perfectly. What is it that God requires? What are the characteristics or these principles that this man of God is supposed to have that he's looking for? I want to share a few with you. A lot of this will be things that you've heard probably, but maybe just not in my words. Number one, he's a man who puts God's business above his own business. He does not let his profession, his job, his career, his recreation usurp the place of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. He understands that when he reads the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where we are to seek the kingdom of God, seeking first the kingdom of God, and he denies himself and he follows Jesus Christ because he loves the Lord, his God, with all of his heart, his soul, his mind, and his strength. Matthew 22 and verse 37. He puts God's business first. He is a man that leads his family in spiritual things. He never thinks of just sending them to worship or to Bible class while he stays at home or does something else. Like Abraham, he will command his children and his household after him that they may keep the way of Jehovah, Genesis 18 and verse 19. That's the kind of person that he is. That's what we're looking for, is a man who leads his family in spiritual matters. And he wants to see to it that his children are brought up in the training and the instruction or the discipline of the Lord, as Ephesians 6 and 4 teaches us. He diligently teaches God's Word to his children morning and night, in the way when they're walking, wherever it may be. He makes the applications of life's examples that this is what God is looking for. He realizes that he does not speak, or that his actions speak louder than his words. What they see in him is what they embody when they grow up. Just like as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. James 2 and verse 26. God wants a man who provides the right example to everyone. The Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. The writer of the book of Proverbs 20 and verse 7 says that a righteous man that walketh in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children who come after him. This is talking about his own legacy, we might say today. God is looking for a man that places and plans his own spiritual growth. He recognizes the importance of the inward man as being renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, and he satisfies the soul's appetite for God's Word and the determination of its message, searching the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things are so, Acts 17 and 11. You remember reading that somewhere, don't you? At some point in your life? This is what God is looking for. And he looks for a man who gives first to God and to himself second. He will honor Jehovah with his substance and first fruits of all of his increase. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Like the Macedonians, he will give to God even beyond what others might expect. He does so sacrificially. That's the kind of man that God looks for. A man who serves for the sake of the gospel. Do all things for the gospel's sake. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 23 says our scripture. The apostles thought of themselves as servants for Jesus' sake. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. And he who practices his religion to please men should not be the servant of Jesus. Galatians 1 and verse 10. Somebody who serves for the sake of the gospel. He is a man with a willing mind rather than a brilliant one. Well, that leaves me out anyway. I can only go for one there. I have to work on the willing part to get me going because mine doesn't shine all that bright, but a willing mind. Do you ever think about that? You remember how many times in the years that I've been here I've said to you, all you have to do is show up. Huh? You've heard that? That's just simply the willingness to be there when people need you. And that's what we're talking about here. All of those who will do His will shall know of His teaching. That's what Jesus promised. John 17 and verse 7, or like young Samuel, as Tom brought up today in our class, who responded to God's voice, speak, Jehovah, for thy servant heareth, 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9. Or how about Isaiah? There's another great one. Here am I, Lord, send me. A willing mind. A man who's ready to do the will of God because he wants to. And Paul, I think you brought this up toward the end of class about someone with a desire to serve God and to be like God. A man who desires to serve rather than to be served himself. When the Scripture says it's a great thing when a man desires to be that kind of a servant. When he wants to be that kind of person. Like Jesus said, He came not to be ministered to, but to minister, Mark 10, verse 45. That was His goal. And that's what we're looking for. If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me or My sake will find it. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Someone who came and comes to serve rather than the person who came to be served. And a man who sees his own faults instead of just the faults of others. I know that it's not easy to not see the faults of others. We all recognize that. That's something that I think God gave us to help us. But we don't want to forget that we're not perfect ourselves. And what we're looking for is someone who is able to take a look at their own selves and confess that he has sinned as well. Paul confessed to be the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. And somebody who's concerned with the log rather than the sawdust in somebody else's eye. You know that illustration in Luke chapter 6. You don't want to be trying to get a speck out of somebody else's eye when you... I saw a really great graphic years ago of this guy with a tree all the way through his head. Somebody had drawn it. He was leaning over trying to do eye work on somebody else. That was the scripture they used. The tree kept bumping in the... Anyway, you get the picture. And then a man who seeks God's approval. What does God require? That's where we started, right? Here we are. A man who seeks God's approval above other men's approval. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. This was a writing of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. Great verses. You were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's remarkably like the same, this Micah passage that we use. And then it concludes by saying, find out what pleases the Lord. Ephesians 5, 8, and 10. Later on, Paul will say in 2 Corinthians, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. I'm almost done. I want to mention two other scriptures before I finish, though. What is it God is looking for? And why is it so important? The first passage I remind you of is one over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. And it says, remember those who lead you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. When I look up at our elders standing before us, teaching us and preaching the Word of God, there's a sense of well-being that I feel. I'm encouraged by that there are other men, although they don't serve like I serve, who have studied the Bible and share that message to the people. That's what we call being shepherds. And the Bible is asking us as a flock to remember that. Remember that we're constantly being compared to a flock of sheep. And we don't want to be so, let's say, confused like the fellow that ran into Cowboy Bud last week. That we don't even know what the sheep are. Remember that they have been placed here by God. Down in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, then it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And let them do this with joy and not with grief. Or that would be unprofitable for you. I want us to hear that. They don't mind that you might have a question for them. They're not going to be angry if they make a decision and you decide you want to ask how they reached that or you want to go talk with them. But I want you to hear that passage. Because very often we allow ourselves to become the people who are nipping and nipping and nipping at leadership when they willingly have been serving God to the very best of their ability. They make no claims for greatness or perfection. simply their desire to serve in the kingdom of God. And when you look around, you see another person that can serve in that kind of capacity. I can tell you right now, they have no idea what they're in for. You know how we go to the Northeast. A young preacher was there in a new congregation. We were just making conversation. I said to him, he'd only been there a few months, about 6 months or so. And I said, preaching's a little different than what you thought it was going to be, isn't it? He said, oh, absolutely not. He was gone in another 6 months. In fact, right now he's not even preaching. I think when we started, there were 27 preacher wannabes in my preaching class, Jim. I'm the only one preaching. I'm not saying that to elevate me. I'm simply saying sometimes we have no idea what we're getting into. I hope that you will prayerfully consider our elders always. And as you look in our congregation for men to serve, that you'll pray heavily about it. And that you'll look for this kind of individual, the individual that serves for the sake of the gospel willingly, serving, realizes that they're human and sees their own faults. And most of all, not only that they seek God's approval, but that we, as a congregation, seek God's approval. May God bless you. May God bless us in this process. We offer to you always the invitation. I'm not going to preach the gospel message to you right here. But if you need the gospel, if you need to respond to it, if there are things in your life you just want us to pray about, we want to give you the opportunity to respond. We invite you to come while we stand, while we sing, Tommy.